right. So let's continue a little bit more with the Deus. So Yaakov asked me last week, what's the meaning of Deus? Right? What's the meaning of the word Deus? It's a good question. Right? He doesn't use that word, and at least they don't translate that word in the Shmarna Prakam. It's just it's more Midos. Right? What's the meaning of Deus? Deus Harbi. Yet is that the mother? Yeah, anybody want to have anyone want to give it a go? Deos harbi yesh l'chol echad v'echad mi'adam. V'zu mishinu mizu v'rachoka mimena b'yoser. And what are the deos? Yesh adam shu bal cheima koes tamad. It's basically what you call the midos, right? So what does it mean they're deos? I mean, what's the implication of that?
Dispositions,
yeah.
Just going to suggest, I mean, he seems to be implying that, it's commonly translated, character traits or whatever, similar to Midos, but he seems to be implying that they're the result of what you might call implicit ideas or I think what some people refer to as like an implicit philosophy. So, when you're a kid, you might just call them simple character traits, but at a certain point, he seems to be implying a person takes responsibility for being angry or having those certain character traits. They're based on they're based on a philosophy of life, perhaps.
Okay, I think that's a good answer. You know, you want to say he's saying that the implication of Deus implies that it becomes like it's not the person doesn't look at it. After a person, when a person has a certain character trait for so long, they, like the Rambam said in the Shmarna Prakam, they attribute it. It becomes somewhat of a philosophy. It does become somewhat of a philosophy, and maybe that's what the Rambam is trying to explain over here. When he says that there are deos that are on the extremes, and the proper dea is the middle, meaning to say, as a dea, there are like on like in kas, which is, since that's our topic, it becomes more than just a propensity. It becomes like a like an ideology. There is some ideological value attached to the midos. That's what Ben Aaronson is suggesting, Yaakov. It becomes some sort of an ideology, And it is true. I mean, maybe that's what the Rambam means, that the deos in the extremes are bad, because it shouldn't be like kas shouldn't be like a might makes, like some people really value that. I mean, if you speak to especially, like business people, I'm not sure if it's the meat of caste is the right, it's really exactly the meat that we're talking about, but aggressiveness, And you got to go and you got to make a stink, and that becomes like a, I'm proud of you, you really, showed him who was boss. It becomes like a very few people are fixed in a midah and consider themselves to be constant chotim. It becomes a somewhat of a value, and on the other extreme you also have it. You have like a pacifist, right? Becomes like that itself. The other extreme also becomes a value. That's it's the absence of kas as a dea is like a pacifism, and there's nothing you should ever fight for. Some people strive for that. That's what they strive for in life, is to never feel something is so important that it gets them upset. becomes that itself is. But the mimutza means that there are things in kas. The middle would mean that there are, that in general it's true. In general, there's it was to have a proper measure of kas, if you're going to look at it in terms of this measure, means to say that there are things that do have a true value. You know, I mean, in the realm of the Deya, the middle would be not that you are overemphasize every detail of every desire of yours, and not that you say life is a worthless experience and there's nothing worth getting riled up about, right? But there is a middle measure that there are. In the grand scheme of things, most of the things that people get upset about are nonsense. But there are real major things. At the same time, there are major realities that that have to be stood up for and protected. You know what I mean? And that's really maybe that's what the Rambam is trying to express by calling them deos. What do you say?
It's just more results. It's that the results themselves become an ideology.
In other words, a person gets the trait. You have to take a little bit of liberty with his I think. But that was when you're starting out. It's not a dea. But it gets fixed in you, and that becomes like your attitude and your values. It's almost like values. Like it's a person to invest in these. Ram is talking about these midos as like as entities of informing yourself about reality themselves. In other words, like das is das means implies das it has to do with knowledge, and some people feel that they can, through their emotions, that the emotions themselves are going to be vehicles of living a proper life, meaning of expressing truth. But there is a certain deya to it, he's saying, that when something becomes fixed in your character, it becomes you turn it into a milo. A person can turn a stinginess into a milo. It becomes known as deyas in terms of how it does impact your outlook on reality. You know what I mean? A person is unified to a certain extent, and he doesn't look at it as logically. He knows it's wrong, and he goes along with. But on the other hand, he just feels that he's driven to craziness. That's not the way a person looks at things. He feels no. On the contrary, usually a person takes what he is and then fashions some philosophical value around it. Most people, the philosophy follows the personality, and they instead of and then it just so happens that whatever their traits are become mindless, you know. But the Rambam is talking about the way the person acts, and he's saying it's harmful to be in either extreme, because that really becomes part of your outlook on things. The proper way is that it's not, like we were saying last week, that it's not its own driving force, and yet it's available for the MS. That's where we're trying to that's a possibility of why I use the term deya as opposed to mida. Mida is just the trait itself, but deya implies that it becomes part of a philosophy. Yeah,
what is
deya
exactly?
Deos harbe yesh lechol lechav
etzem deya. Right. So, what does that mean? Zoom machine is hopefully going to be else out. Does he mean kas is very distant from taiva, is very different from gaiva, or does he mean kas is very distant from being a passive?
I think he means the second way.
Because later he says Dea is Shnei Ktsavos Ulechokos Zumizu Shebechol Dea V'Dea. Sounds
right.
Like the Dea is the entire spectrum.
Where is that?
Halacha Gimel.
Right, the two extremes in each Dea are not good.
Right, so that seems like it's one Dea, but the question is, which extreme are they? I'm just looking at the Gemara, I'm not even sure what the word Dea precisely is addressing.
Well, over there he's saying each Mida is like a Dea, no? In Gimel. That's the Mashmos Gimel.
In Gimel he's saying each spectrum is a Dea.
Right.
Which you have to find a place.
Right, each spectrum, correct.
And then, earlier it sounds like he's saying that Deos Haruvei, it's not clear if he means two sides of the spectrum or if he means many different Deos. Because he gives examples of many different Deos. He doesn't just say the two sides.
Let's look at it again. Hold on.
Yaakov in Halacha Dalet, he also refers to the middle pit as a Dea itself.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So what exactly does the word Dea refer to? It seems like he switches back and forth.
So maybe Dea is, it can refer to the overall outlook of a person. It could refer to the overall, there was an Aleph, he's saying, Deos Harbe, well, how do you read that? Deos Harbe, Yesh Lechol Echad Ve'Echad Mi B'nei Adam. That mean what?
Each person has many deos.
Each
one is very distant from the other, meaning he has this day and that day, and they're very distant from.
But what does it mean to be distant from each other, right? That's the question.
Why does that matter?
What does it mean?
That's the fun. It doesn't seem like day is a very hard.
No, but then he switches as Yesh Adam Shul Baal Chem of Kohes Tamid. Now he's going to individual people, right?
So you think the zoo is going on the Kol Echad Echad, meaning the zoo, Adam's zoo is Mishino Mizu, or Dea's zoo is Mishino Mizu? What's the zoo of reference to now?
What's the zoo, right?
Is it the Adam or Dea?
Exactly, that's a good question.
What's the choice?
What's the zoo? Is the zoo going on people, on the person, or the Dea?
The zoo is Nekeva.
So it's on the Dea?
Has to be.
Right, so that means Deos within the same person, which would mean the Kas is distant from the Taiva.
Well, why would you even say that?
I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out grammatically what he's saying, who he's saying, why he's saying.
V'yesh Adam Shu Gova Le Biyoser. V'yesh Shu Shofar Ruch Biyoser. V'yesh Shu Baal Taiva Lutzizan Hashem Mil. V'yesh Shu Baal
Taiva.
Outlooks?
So there are many outlooks.
To people.
To each person.
Each person has many outlooks.
So he's talking about just people.
Hold on. Yeah, what?
Can you say that it means that, meaning there are many deos out there? He's not saying that, he's not talking about each person having many deos. He's saying that there are many deos that people have. And those deos
that people have in general.
Yeah.
Is that Yesh to call Echad the Echad Mibnei Adam? Or that would be Deos Harbe Yesh Mibnei Adam? That would be the people in general have it. Kol Echad the Echad seems like this applies to each individual.
And the Zoo Mishino Mizu is the Dea.
Right.
And what are the cases?
And then
he says the angry guy and the calm guy. He is doing opposites now. And then what? And then the Balgaiva and the very low.
Okay.
And then the Taiva and the no enjoyment. Yeah.
It can't be Mizu. Within each day, he has each end. It would seem like it's far away from each other. I don't know why it's doing grammatically. Is that a problem? And then it goes into listening how they're far apart.
Right. I mean, he's saying man is capable, every individual has what? Many deos, many realms of outlook. And what? And each one contains extremes.
Okay.
It's a little shaky.
Just usually the Gaon is a really clear writer.
Yeah, what were you saying, Ben?
I was just going to say, to me, the best approximate translation might be the term virtue. Like, a person has many virtues, and they're also, you could...
Well, virtue is already on one side, because the opposite of virtue is a vice.
Yeah.
Unless you mean virtue in the sense, like, by virtue of this, meaning someone who's a cause or something, which is the source of the word virtue.
Do you know how those two are related?
No, I don't.
Okay, I'm just saying, because I know like people do translate virtue, but that's what I always thought they meant when they translate
virtue. Virtue is a term that you can use to talk about particular traits, and you can say that a person is, you know, possesses virtue and has a certain degree of virtue.
But he says a guy can be very angry and a guy can be very calm. And he doesn't think either one of those are really virtuous. So we're trying to say like this. So it's Deos HaBeyesh L'chol Echad V'Echad Mibnei Adam. Right? So that means within Yesh L'chol Echad V'Echad Mibnei Adam, each individual man has many different attitudes. Many attitudes. There are many attitudes and dispositions to every individual of mankind. Right? Because they exist in individuals, they don't exist in mankind. They exist in individuals of the species man. You'll find many attitudes or dispositions. Now, if you're going to take a sum of all of those that you'll find, not within a person anymore. Now you'll take notes. You want to see how many deos are there. So they don't exist in the air. They exist in individuals. Within individuals of man, you'll find many attitudes. And if you'll study them, you'll see that you'll find that they are not only varied but extremely distant from each other. But you might not, if you didn't know this, you would say, okay, if you study monkeys, and they'll tell you, well, there are different attitudes that they have, but you'd be surprised if they were extremely divergent. How many different ways could a monkey be? But man is not that way. Man has many, many different, there are many, many different attitudes found in individual man, and the distance between them is so great, the difference and the distance between them is so great. What is the difference between the difference and the distance? Right?
But the difference that's great between them, is that only referring to the ones that stand in contradistinction to each other?
Yes, of course. Fine. Not of course, but that's what I'm saying. Different means different. What's the difference between different and Mishuna and Rechoka? Mishuna and Rechoka. Mishuna means in the character, right? There's very little, there's an extreme difference between a guy who is dingy like crazy and a guy who spends like crazy, right? And what's the rechoka mimenu? What's the mishuna and what's the rechoka?
I thought you said mishuna is the variety, and the rechoka is the ones that are directly in...
No, I'm saying mishuna means in the character, right? Mishuna means in the character. They don't even have any, they have barely anything in common. I mean, they don't have anything in common at all. They're so different, right? And rechoka is describing the distance between them. Not only are they different, but they're a long way from each other, in some sense.
In some sense. I mean, since if you were to go one person, if you go from one to the other,
exactly.
It would be a tremendously
That's right,
long
exactly.
Journey.
Exactly. Exactly. And it implies a lot of changes in between. Certain things are mishuna from each other, but there's only two choices. Let's say you have a certain characteristic. Let's say you could have a case with where you have two choices that are extremely different from each other within one subset, within one set. But there's only two. They're very different, but there's only two. So they're not really Rechoka. They're Meshuna, but they're not necessarily Rechoka. Or maybe you could switch from one to the other easily. So it's Meshuna, but that's not Rechoka. Right? Meshuna means the characteristic is very different, and Rechoka means there's a lot to travel between one to the other. Right? Mayor?
100% very abstract, sir.
Okay, so we'll get down to cases. It says you have a guy who what? Who gets angry all the time, right? A guy gets angry all the time, and you have a guy who hardly gets angry at all, right? Within the human species, you'll have two people who partake of deos that are mishunos biyoser. One guy flies off the handle at the slightest sense of provocation, right? And another guy is completely chilled out, nothing bothers.
I like
him.
How he words it, because he says, "Eino choas klal," he never gets angry, but like, once every couple of years.
Once every couple of years, look out. So, no, even then, he's not like a volcano. Even then, it's barely anything. Right? So that's very different. That's very different. That's very different. And he goes through the rest. They're very different, and they're very distant. It's hard to go from one to the other. Guy's not going to wake up the next morning and be the Baal Chema and Kas. Right? It's a long road to travel between the two. Okay, but so what are deos though? It doesn't really help us more with deos, but I think that's right. I think that's right. It's the full.
Doesn't seem so complicated.
What's that?
It doesn't seem so like complicated.
Okay,
novel.
So let's,
but the angry guy is not going to be chill, and the chill guy is not going to be angry. Yeah.
It's just the first line of the first halacha. How deep is this supposed to be? Come on. Perek Rishon, what's the Chiddush? Come on. Okay, so, yeah. Well, so anyway, yeah, and then he has, between each Deya of the distant ones, there are also many in between. Yeah. And then he says, some people have them from birth, right, according to their physiology. And what? And some of them, Yeshman Deo Shativa Shaladam Zemachuvan Vasu Kabalos of the Mayor, some of them are just predisposed to them.
Maybe
right?
He's also using Rehokui Men in the beginning of the day, as you're saying?
Yeah.
Meaning the middle ones are hard to switch, meaning even if they're similar, they're still difficult to switch from one to the other. Meaning in the middle they might be similar to each other, but they still have the difficulty to change what he is from one to the next.
Right. They're not Rechokim Yemen Abiyoser, but right, but it still is Rechokim Yemen. It's good, it's interesting. Even though they're more similar, they're still Rechokim Yemen.
They're not so
Meshuna. Right. V'yesh min she'in alo da mitchilas b'yoso el lo mado so me'acherem. They rub off on him from other people. Also believe. See that one also.
On the first of base, the first sentence of base. What is he adding to what we already?
The
said?
Middle ground, saying the middle ones are not so mishuna,
right.
But they're also rechoka.
What does that mean exactly?
It means they're hard to switch from one to the other.
They're hard to switch.
He's saying first he's telling you the extremes, but then he's telling you there's also in between, within those categories of extremes, there also are many in the middle. That are not as Meshuna Mizumizu, but they still can have a quality of Rechoka. Rechoka means there's a distance to travel between them. I mean, it's not, you can't just flip, you can't just slide over to the next Mida with ease. Right?
You're trying to negate, like, the quantitative. Don't think that it's...
what do they call it? Continuous? It's not continuous. It's not so much of a continuous spectrum, it's more like a quantum. Okay, energy packets. So anyway, so now he's telling you what? How do you get these deos? How do you get them? So some of them you get from your goof. That's what he held, right? They held that way. That if your brain is wet or your brain is dry or your heart is they had certain
the humors.
What? The humors. Not the funnies. The humors is a different thing. It's like the vapors and the fluids in your body. Hard right, wired. Galen.
What do we call it these days? Hardwired.
That's right. That's what they say nowadays. You're hardwired. I don't know what their muscle was from, but
was it the implication that if you change that, you could change your nature?
No, I don't think you can change that. The Rambam just says it's harder. It's just going to be harder. You're going to start out that way. You'll start out with a certain disposition.
Just because you start.
That's right. Like in Hilchos Teshuvah, the Rambam says no matter what, you can always change. But you're going to be predisposed. Well, this is not predisposed. This is actually this is how you start.
This is also the state. I think the biology stays the same.
The biology stays the same, right?
You don't. It predisposes you certain way, but then what you do is not totally dependent by the biology.
Right, like that's how he had also in the Avraham Aram. So some guys are very going to be very hard for them to overcome anger based on their physiology. And then you have what? Then you have a predisposition. You have a predisposition from your body, from your teva. You don't start out with it, but you're predisposed to it. Then you have what? It's just something you pick up. Or you acquire because of a thought that you have in your heart. Or, see here, this is what it indicates to me. O sheshama shezu hadeya tova lo. Ubo roi lelech v'hinig atzmo bo ad shenikva belibo. Or he heard this is a good thing to do. And he acquired it. Right, he heard this is a good thing to do. Yeah.
But it's interesting in terms of it being an ideology that's
That's right.
Have a
that's what I say. You have to have. That's what I said in the beginning. You have a bit of a hard time with Lashon to say to call it a Deya from the beginning. But then you have to say he doesn't really mean it was a Deya back then. But I'm trying to say like this. I'm not saying that Deya really means an ideology per se, but the Rambam is using that term because he wants to express the idea that it's not just a mida in the sense it's not like the tzuras haguf. It's not like describing a tzuras haguf like. A person has five fingers. That has nothing to do with his perfection. You know what I mean? That's just like a description of an anatomy description. He doesn't want to say that the internal anatomy, the anatomy of the in the realm of the midos, is different. There is a big comparison between the guf and the nefesh over here. But the characteristics you have in your guf is one thing. That doesn't really affect your outlook on things so much. But the characteristics of the nefesh are more than just anatomy. That actually does have an impact on perception and outlook and ideology. It's deya because it does... It does become like a source of knowledge to a person. That he feels that there's something right about the way he reacts. You know what I mean? There's nothing in your physical anatomy that indicates right or wrong. I mean, that's just... I know there are... Where's... who's doing the Pekidus, right? There are funny gemaras about why your finger looks like a peg... Right, the Chazal do try to associate perfections to the body too, right? Your body fits right, your hand fits, your finger fits in your ear. So if you're Lashna, you're speaking. That's why it's like that. There's a Gemara like try to associate the tzura of the guf to a mida of perfection. But I think that that's why he's trying to elevate from just Mida to Deya. And he's saying, if you go in a certain Mida, it becomes like a Deya. And that is a bad thing. Now, listen to this. Let me tell you what I'm trying to get out of this also. See, I think that could also explain, in the end, the Bala, why by Kas you negate it completely. How does he say it's bad to go on either extreme, right? But then by Kas, he says you negate it completely, right? See, I think he's trying to say, I think with Deya, you can get out of that problem. Because he's saying, as a Deya, the Ka, to be a person with no Kas at all is bad. That's like a pacifist. You understand? That's pacifism. That's no good. As a trait, if a person were to ingrain in himself the trait, Alpi Deya, of pacifism, meaning where it becomes a disposition that informs his worldview, that's ra. That's definitely wrong. But as long as a person knows what the right deya is, he knows that the deya is in the middle. He knows that's really where the perfection lies. The real perfection lies in the middle. Then he can negate the specific expression of kas, but maintain the, but not adopt the ideology of a pacifist. You understand? And that person will act angry. See, a pacifist won't act angry. You know what I mean? Because he holds this against, that's against the shita. So shita is, it shouldn't be anger. I don't want to add more negative anger. I may have more negative energy into the world. Whatever the philosophy is. You understand? But that's what he's trying to say, though. He says, that is definitely wrong. As a deya, that's definitely wrong. But there is an idea that a person should be very careful with the kas, even when it's appropriate. Why? Why should a person be so careful with kas, even when it's appropriate? Because there's always a danger in kas that it's leading a little bit. You know what I mean? There's always a danger. See, this is what we were discussing a little bit after the shiur last week. The next day, I was trying to say the next day trying to give an example of what we meant when we say that you shouldn't be ruled by a kas, but you shouldn't be incapacitated. So I say, like, sometimes you have to do something. Right? Let's say a person has to do something that they know is right. But if they don't have a certain amount of aggression, they're just going to be difficult for them to do it. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have to summon the anger. Sometimes a person needs to summon the feeling to get himself, in the position that he can execute what is really right. Some people are so timid they can't. Some people are such bal kas that they go crazy over anything. But some people are on the opposite extreme. They can't even ask for what they deserve. You know what I mean? They can't even muster the courage to ask for what is rightfully theirs. So I'm not. Maybe it's not kas. But the point is, there are certain emotions that the Rama is saying it's ra, that if you're going to go to the other extreme, you're not even going to be able to do what is right. Right? But that's still in terms of the realm of a deya, of where it is really still controlling to some degree, and being a part of how you interpret the world and see. Notice if a guy is forgiving of others because he's just too afraid to say anything, That's not a good midah. You understand? That's not a perfection. That means he's lacking the ability to do. Right? But if a person is on a high level, that he's not that he's afraid, it's not that he doesn't have the courage to stand up for his rights, but he has a midah of being maver al midosov, that is a perfection. You understand? You have to see, it's the daya of the thing that's the problem. It's the daya of the thing that's the problem. But you can, you know what I'm saying? But you can also have an idea where, see, because the question then that we were left with last week was, do you need memarshach? Do you need the kash to do the right thing, or do you not need the kash to do the right thing? In other words, is the energy, when the Ram says it's good to be in the middle, is it because the mind sees what's right, but you need the engine to supply the energy? Because the Ram, in the Shmona Prakam, he describes it like the chelak ha-mis-orer, what he calls the nefesh ha-mis-orer, the motivational, the moving soul. You know, the das, and then there's the mis-orer. Misorah puts it into action. And he says that's the realm of midos, is in the Misorah. Right? But it makes it sound like you need to, it's not enough just for the das to see something. You need some oomph. You need something to push, to make it go. Right? So the question was, is he saying that you have to be in the middle for kas because you still have to have that energy reservoir? You know, you have to have that reserve. And your mind sees what's right, and then, like I said, if you had to do something that is maybe distasteful to you for whatever reason, you tell me you need to get a little, you need to think it over. Say, no, this guy really deserves it, and it helps you do the thing that you maybe had another emotion that was preventing you from doing, right? But the question is, do you need the chema to do the right thing or not? So if you do, then we understand why it's always good to be in the middle. But the problem is, later on, the Rambam says you don't, because he says it's really better not to have any kas, and to just pretend to be angry. So you see, you can pretend without doing you can do the action without the actual emotion. So what do you need the whole emotion for? Right, that's what we were, that's what we left off with in the after discussion. But I think that I'm trying to supply somewhat of an answer here. I'm trying to say like this. It depends on how the person is operating. You know? If you're operating, if you're on a certain level, you're still operating with the daya of the, with the emotion, with the midos, with the deos of the thing, then you have to have the, you have to be mehutza. But there is a but the Ram is saying you can be a person who, no, you can't have the daya on. If you're a person that doesn't have the anger, and that becomes like a daya in you, then you simply can't do it. But it's possible that in terms of your deos, in terms of what your outlook on reality is, you are not hampered by in the realm of kas, and you're not driven by kas. You are in the middle in terms of that. So you don't have a distorted, you're not going to have a distorted outlook. You're not going to excuse things because you're afraid to stand up for yourself. You understand? So you don't have a problem doing that. But even in those cases, see, that then in those cases, the Ram is saying there still is a level of siyag, of what? Of not actually engaging the anger itself. Now, is you're still in the middle, in a sense, in terms of a daya, you're in the middle. You're not taking a pacifistic stance. Right? But in terms of your own experience, you disengage the kas. The only time you don't really need the kas to be able to act. But you need to have the daya calibrated properly to not distort what the right thing to do is. You know what I'm saying? But if the guy has the right daya, he's not a He's not a pacifist. And he's not a hawk, right? There is an idea of siyag to be holech in the derech of that daya, but by certain midos to not engage in them, to not experience them. And kas is one of them. And the reason is, but the reason by kas is special. Why? Because kas always has the chance of losing control. There's always a chance in the experience of kas that engaging in it is going to allow you to go a little overboard. You understand? Kas is something that could become a leader. It could start leading. Once you give into it, once you experience it, it does have the ability. It's very hard with kas to just draw the line and allow the kas to fill it. It could overtake. It could overflow. That's why Chazal say you shouldn't engage in kas even when it's appropriate. Why? Because it's the type of thing that is goer more kas. Kas is very hard to tame the kas. You know what I mean? It's very hard to tame the kas. So there's a siag to pretend to act angry. But you don't have the midah of being a pacifist. You don't have that day of being a pacifist. You have the day in the mimutza. And you don't have a problem with the idea of expressing anger when it's appropriate, when there's something that's davar gadol, and there's a harm to be prevented. Right? You're not going to let your pacifism say nothing's important. You understand? But on the other hand, you don't want to. There's a siag of not of withholding the. Of refraining from preventing yourself from actually engaging in it, of it taking over, because of the special character of kas.
Well, what's wrong with just if there's something that's wrong that's going on, just making an absolute comment and saying, "Hey, I disapprove of this completely."
Yeah. So that's an excellent question. So why do you have to pretend to be angry, right? Why? Why?
Other
huh?
Other people.
Yeah. Why? Why? But what is that?
Especially when it's. Saying it's drawing people in.
But why does that affect people?
Because they have it themselves. But
no, no.
They want approval.
Because
they can relate to it. I mean, but
they have to sense that it is extremely important to you. Most people are going to judge. It has to do with what you're saying too. That's like Avraham Aram says, this is only a guy who's in a situation of being like a manig and in control of other people's. In other words, people who are not on a high level like that, they are judging from their own reactions, from the way they conduct themselves. And they know that if something is really, really important, then it's going to elicit a certain response in them. So if the leader appears to blow up and be enraged, then to them it has an impact of, whoa, this is something really serious. This is not just a talking to. This is not just a reprimand. You know, this is something that to him is really essential That's the way, it's because that's how you communicate. Certain things you can't communicate other than somewhat experientially. You know what I mean? That the person sees and he relates to the experience that goes to the core of the guy's existence. And he says, wow, I see this really touched on a very, very deep and powerful issue. You can't tell the guy, hey, this touches on a deep and powerful issue. You know what I mean? Because they're not on your level, and they don't, and it just seems hollow to them. It seems like fake. I mean, it's got to have a ring of truth to them in their framework. So he has to do the kas. He has to express it. But to engage in it is a different matter. But
wasn't it used with Yaakov and his wife?
Yaakov when he was angry at Rachel? Doesn't say he was faking that, though. He was angry.
I mean, he was not using it.
I mean, he reprimanded. He spoke harshly to her.
Right. Saying, so he wasn't operating. So you're saying, now there's different interpretations of what you're saying. He wasn't operating with the right.
I mean, did he give in to his kas? He was right. He had a philosophical criticism.
About, or well, there, he's really
Moshe succumbed to kas, right? Moshe succumbed to kas,
right?
Right.
In other words, he wasn't employing that with Rachel. He wasn't employing it in a.
Well, he wasn't faking it. You mean?
Well, it's a question. Right. Was he right? Was he wrong? Also,
it worked.
Well, the question was the criticism.
Well, Ramban says that he didn't like her...
competition.
No, he didn't like her, like, ultimatum, right? Like making it seem like it was totally in his control. I can be misfollow, but you're making it like it's up to me completely.
Or like she didn't have anything to do with it or something. Like she could have... It was her...
No, they got them.
I'm saying...
Right.
That it wasn't
all right. Try to continue.